meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Woo! Get it on.
Yeah, baby.
Gotta get it on. Must get it on.
What's the matter? Something's wrong. Something's bugging you. Just too tired of working?
Nah, I'm just, you know.
You're done.
I'm just done.
You're toast.
I'm done before it's begun.
Are you done with people or done with work?
I'm done with the same conversation. I'm done with nobody knowing how to do anything. I'm done. You know what I'm done with?
Warming my heart.
I'm done with men boldly announcing they can't do stuff and then wearing it like a badge.
We did a half hour on this.
I'm only going to do 40 minutes tonight, but told my gay assistant, Matt, look, I need you to go. I got to get the car into the shop. The battery's dead. I need you to go jump the car. And he's, what? You know, just I got to jump the car. I got to get the thing started. And get, I don't. No, no.
Huh?
No, just, no, it doesn't drive a stick, doesn't jump a car. You know, it just realized these things we take for granted.
Now you
must. Jump starting a car. Even bump starting a car.
Yeah.
A man should know how to jump and bump and hump start a car.
And have done it many times.
Here's the deal about guys. They should not issue you a goddamn driver's license until you can drive a stick, jump start a car, and bump start a car.
Yes. Now, I draw the line at change a tire.
Well,
now, how dare you?
I said good day to those lug nuts. Could not be asked to change his own tire. I would like to think in my heart of hearts, Drew, that if push came to shove,
I could change the tire.
Because, no Drew...
If you were yelling at me, it wouldn't take long before I'd cave.
You could jack the car up.
Yeah, yeah. I've done it. You would know
to break the lugs loose before you jack the car up so the wheel didn't spin.
No.
Oh, okay.
Here's what I do. I'd do it and then lower it and then do it and then bring it back.
Right. All right. But the point is Drew has done it before.
Yeah.
I'm just saying where men and women boldly announce they don't do stuff.
You just have to get the little air the compressor guns.
Yeah. Yeah, impact driver.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've realized that women boldly announce they don't cook, they don't sew, they don't do things of that nature.
Because that was that generation.
Yeah, and men boldly announce they don't jump cars, they don't drive sticks, they don't change tires, they don't fight, they barely F anymore.
Ooh.
That's it.
It's interesting.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Huh.
Here's what I think is happening, Drew. I think we are, I'm drawing a big X at this point with... men,
basically supply and demand curves.
On the left and women on this side. This year, now we're down here, Drew. We're down at the bottom.
We meaning in history.
This is odd five
history.
Here.
Okay, yeah.
This is like 231. At 231, we cross.
Yeah.
Men become women. Women become men. We just become the same.
Yeah. One of the shows I did for Discover Health Channel, I brought a guy out here as a biological anthropologist who wrote a book called The Decline of Males.
Yeah, we're
and
just...
And he just said the males are just becoming useless. And you know, what's even more interesting is the genetic material that makes us male, the Y chromosome, decaying.
Oh.
Shrinking.
Please.
It's like fading. Yeah.
I don't know a guy who has any left.
We're going to be like Jabba the Hutt. We're just going to be these sperm-producing units.
Be like earthworms. And we're just be effing ourselves. And here's the thing. By 2031, Drew, I did some math. That's when we cross because women, see, down here at the bottom in the 50s, we couldn't be further apart.
Right.
Men worked. Women stayed at home. Men went and saw battle and fought in combat and chain smoked. Women sat around and took care of kids.
Yeah.
Men drank and they fought and they had mistresses. Uh-oh.
Mm.
Let me tell you something, ladies.
Women are going to keep
you trying to domesticate your man may end up smacking you in the ass one
day. He's going
to
sit home and be
well, now
he's
just
going to
be wet nurse. Well, here's the thing. Yeah, here's the thing. Men used to F and fight.
Yes.
And booze, and they used to, They used to carouse.
Yes.
They would just be, they were like alley cats.
Yes.
Out doing their thing. Old lady be waiting for them. They'd come home. Just as long as they kept the electricity on and paid the gas bill and paid the mortgage. No questions asked. Then women started getting demanding. I want you to work, and then you'll come home when you're done with their work. And I don't want any booze on your breath, and I don't want you going to any strip clubs. You're not hanging out in any ballgames. You come home and put that cigar out and start helping with the rearing of these children. And why should I sew? Why don't you learn how to sew? Why should I cook for you? I'm not your maid. I'm not your slave. You cook. Well, before you know it, we started producing milk.
From our breasts.
We're now lactating.
Yes.
I actually was spotting.
That is. Wow.
I actually spotted. I went two pads. I went through two pads.
Oh, my God.
And not many.
Oh,
Maxi.
Oh.
Do they have an in-between? You know, I don't hear about the medium pad. He's got the mini and the maxi.
Yeah,
it'd
yeah.
be nice if there's something in between.
That's just the Kotex.
Oh, it's just regular.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's my point. You're now turning us into you. We can no longer jump cars, bump cars, or drive sticks. Well, you now got another one of you. You're all turning into dykes. And here's the thing. By 2031, that's my target date. First off, I have a composite.
Well, we're moving into the Amazon period of American history.
No, not Amazon. We're going down to meet them. They're not going to be Amazon women.
Huh. We're going to become
women. Men are
so we're not going
to
bring the women up. We're going to take the men
well,
down.
Well, basically, here's what I want you to picture. I fed a lot of this data in the computer, and it spat out a picture of Roger Ebert.
Oh, that's all of us.
Yeah, we all just sort of, we're sensitive, we review movies, we look like old lesbians.
we're
sort of soft, we're softic, we're sort of hippie. Yeah, that's it. A lot of breast tissue. And here's the thing.
And lactation.
Lactating. And we're going to be sitting home in 2031, and there's going to be some noise going, some rustling outside. Uh-oh, window broke in the kitchen. And your wife and you are going to be sitting in bed, and it's going to be like, who's going to go down to the kitchen and investigate? I don't know. Not me. I'm not going. Why should I go? We're 50-50. I'm half of you now, baby. I got an ovary and a labia minor and maybe a major and a maxi pad and a mini pad and a regular Kotex. So I'm not going down to investigate what that noise was in the kitchen.
You're sitting whine.
Oh, there's a spider on the ceiling. Oh, I'm supposed to get the Kleenex.
You're scared of spiders.
I'm scared of spiders. Oh, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome.
Oh.
Awesome. And I'm going to be saying, honey, where are you taking me on vacation this year?
Oh.
She's going to be like, what? And I go, we never go on vacation. I'm going
to
start crying.
How come the neighbors went to Wisconsin?
Yeah, that's right. Neighbors went to Wisconsin. That'd be the best day of your life. Your neighbors went to Wisconsin and told your wife about it. Yeah. Yeah. Wacky, wacky. Here's the point. We are becoming them. They are becoming us. We will cross.
Seems like we're becoming more them than they
yes,
us.
In about 27 years, we'll do that. But then we're gonna be sitting around and we're gonna be saying to them, I got a tear in my trousers. How about you mend it? They're gonna be like, with what? I don't know. What are you talking about? And I'm hungry. What's for dinner? And they're gonna be like, I don't cook.
That doesn't
do anything.
That's not already what.
No, yeah, that's already what happened. Oh, they're there.
No, it's what's gonna be happening is it's gonna be, honey, we gotta jumpstart the car. You're gonna be like, what?
What? What's a car? I don't do that.
What's under that thing lifts up? There's something underneath there?
We are going to both be breastfeeding simultaneously. take a draw off my boob, take a draw off the old lady's boob. Now back to my boob. Just back and forth like some kind of retarded porn.
Oh.
I'm telling you, we're crossing paths.
Yeah, yeah.
And nobody will speak out against it. No one has anything to say about it. Just, that's fine. No. Guy doesn't know how to drive a stick. He's 25 years old. No one's going to say anything. Don't know how to bump start a car, jump start a car. No, can't do nothing.
Declared.
No. You know, and here's the thing. Like guys are too easy on other guys.
I know.
Well, guys say to guys, you got the Volvo, huh? What'd you get? Did you get the straight five turbocharged? You get the V6? Oh, I don't know. And the other guy says, He walks away instead of yelling at him. What do you mean you don't know, Nimrod? How do you not know?
Yeah.
Don't you know? See what I'm saying?
Well, I've seen how you and your buddies treat each other.
Well, guys aren't abusing each other nearly enough.
Oh, yeah.
Or if it is, it's turning into a social shunning, a catty, feminine, emotional abuse instead of
shunning,
the good physical beating that guys used to put on each other.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, we're quickly turning into women in this society. And you women who have been on the sidelines cheering this.
You'll have your day.
This whole time, good times. Enjoy. Wait till we start splitting up things down the middle.
Oh,
it's going to be awesome. Allie,
Yes.
You're 20?
Yep.
What's happening?
What's up?
I am on antidepressants, and recently I've been, like, supercharged sex drive, which is kind of weird because they told me that basically when I go on the antidepressants, I would probably have a reduced sex drive.
Which antidepressant is it?
It's Wellbutrin.
Yeah, Wellbutrin is not the one that'll shut you down and can occasionally charge people up. In fact, I would be concerned, you should talk to your doctor about this, that it may be making you a little manic.
Mm. Oh, okay. Really?
And, yeah, Wellbutrin, Remeron, Cerazone do not shut down the sex drive, and Wellbutrin can actually charge it up a little bit. And
okay.
Any antidepressant, if you're not properly diagnosed, can induce a mania. And Wellbutrin is a stimulant. It's particularly, it has a tendency in that direction.
You're saying the Y chromosome is starting to deteriorate?
Yes. Shrinking.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding.
So what makes us male is a small...
It's gone.
Yeah.
It's
well,
all gone.
But it's less.
Yeah.
So we're more similar as males.
No, I know. Look.
And it's going away.
Yeah. So I blame rotisserie football.
Yeah.
Baseball. A bunch of guys sitting around looking at magazines with stats in it all. Like,
oof.
Oh. I know what else I blame. I blame comic books.
Maybe something with the ink.
It's poison everyone's brain.
Maybe it's a plot.
40-year-old guys excited. X-Men are coming out. The new Spider-Man is so much better than the old. That Silver Surfer, they're going to ruin. What? What do you guys know about this?
Well, there was a time when
guys arguing
men
about
weren't
comic books.
Supposed to be children. Not just not women, but also not children.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yes, guys are not only turning into chicks, they're turning into adolescent chicks.
Oh, young adolescent.
Young adolescent chicks. Guys pumped up for the new Star Wars coming out. Pumped up, waiting in line, and shouting it from the mountaintop.
Proud of it.
Proud. Here's the thing. Can't drive a stick, can't jump start a car. Got to go get in line for the new Star Wars. Where's my bullhorn? I gotta let the world know. Huh? To me, I'd rather just scream like I'm a pedophile than those things.
Yeah,
there's more masculine dignity involved with it. All right, do we answer her question?
Yeah, she's good.
Liz.
Yep.
You're 21.
Yes, I am.
What's off? What's off? What's up? Says you used
what's
to get
up?
Off.
Yeah, I
what's
used
up?
To. Well, yeah. I mean, I still do, but just not from my boyfriend. The problem with me is I can get off really well with a vibrator.
Yeah.
But when it comes to my boyfriend,
just
not doing it for me now anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you're concerned what? That it's the vibrator taking you
away?
Well,
yeah, that's what I think it is now because I only started using one probably 2 months ago, and it was right after I had broken up with my... other boyfriend. Then, you know, as a joke, my ex-boyfriend bought me a vibrator. Like, as a joke. Like, oh, you can't...
bought you a vibrator.
You can't have me, but here's a vibrator, pretty much.
Bring.
Yeah. Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, hi, what's your name?
I'm Sugar.
Sugar, I'm Ace.
Hey, Ace.
Yeah, what are you wearing?
Well, I'm wearing a nice black garter. Just thinking about the Holocaust right now.
That's Tom Arnold losing his S over that call. Yeah.
I forgot about that phone call. Yeah. Now, for those of you, might as well explain that phone call. I'll put Liz on hold for a second.
Liz reminded her of that. It reminded all of us of that, of that call.
We had a chick call up, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And she was a phone sex operator, and her problem was guys were getting off too fast, and she was losing money.
Yep.
So if you're getting charged, you know, $19 every 5 minutes, and the guy busts his nut at 3.5 minutes, you may have lost another $19. You'd get him to roll into the up to 6-7 minutes, or keep going for an hour.
Yeah.
She was too good.
Yeah.
So, you know, because here's the thing about phone sex operators. They lie, and it's too good.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking to them. Now, really, it's just a chick smoking and ironing. She's got a couple of conjoined twins that are sucking off her dragon boob, and she's got a Schlitz tall boy.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, there's some carcass with flies around it in their trailer.
Yeah.
And she's missing a tooth, but she's got a C-section scar that actually goes all the way up across her nose, across her forehead, and down her back.
Nice. She was split open.
It just seemed like a football C-section scar. She like goes, turns into a tracheotomy scar,
yeah,
and then
like
it goes,
a stuffed animal.
Goes across her nose and up her forehead. Yeah, she got a, you know, if you took it and straightened it out, it would go from here to Fairbanks.
Sure, sure.
Right. The point is she on the phone is saying that, you know, she's a nursing student from Sweden and she's 19 and she's 6'4 and she's blonde and she's a D cup, but it's hard to find bathing suits. Now the guy gets off too fast. What really you should do as a phone sex operator, here's what you should do. You should go, look, let's face it, I'm no Elle McPherson. I wouldn't be doing this. You know, I'm not a Victoria's Secret model. I wouldn't be a phone sex operator. But you know what? I'm better than the best you've ever had. I can guarantee you that. And I'm a good, solid 8.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Little intrigue.
That, and also, how about just setting it up the way women always do so you get the guy off the scent a little bit. It's like,
right.
So, what did you do today? What's going on?
Right.
Just talked about. I can't jump right into this. You got to talk
right,
to me first.
A little small talk.
Yeah. And so give him 5 minutes right there.
Point is we talked to this chick, and she was so good at her job that she wasn't making any money at her job.
Yeah.
So, I said, you got to be like a subliminal phone sex operator. You got to start working in scary imagery.
It's the reference to Saturday Night Live skit that Kevin Nealon used to do.
Yeah. Although I wasn't thinking about that.
Well,
No, you brought it up later on. Okay. Well, anytime you do it, you get into that.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't do subliminal man.
Right.
Or whatever the bit was. But right. It wasn't at the front of my mind.
Okay.
But thanks, Drew. Thanks for accusing me of ripping his bit off. So I was just saying, like, you know, what you got to do is go like, hey, baby, what are you wearing, Vietnam? And just start working in some weird subliminal stuff.
Right.
To actually, you know, slow the boner down. And
she didn't quite seem to grasp what you were talking about.
She quite really did do it. So we tried a little run through and she didn't get it at all. And then we went for a second time. I said, no, look, you got to work in the Holocaust subliminally.
And
you
then
you have to work it on.
There was silence. There was silence.
Yeah. And then I was like, look, just work it in this time. So that's why I was like, what do you do?
No, and first of all, she realized there was silence and Adam goes, Holocaust? You know what that...
Oh, yeah, she didn't know
what
that was.
She didn't know
what
it was.
Yeah.
And so, all right, just work it in for me. So he asked
phone sex operators are probably only under esthetician in terms of stuff, in terms of women that don't know stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
All right. So,
so that was that call.
That was that call. Yeah. Ooh, baby, just...
Want to hear it again real quick?
Doing nothing. Yeah, now you can hear it with the context.
And Tom Arnold was the guest that night.
Bring.
Yeah, that's right.
Bring.
Hi, how you doing?
Ooh, hi, what's your name?
I'm Sugar.
Sugar, I'm Ace.
Hey, Ace.
Yeah, what are you wearing?
Well, I'm wearing a nice black garter.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking about the Holocaust right now.
I thought Tom Arnold was going to lose, split a gut.
He eventually went insane after that call.
I want to do something special on your wedding night. Have you ever licked his butt?
Just thinking about the Holocaust.
All right, so Liz, here we go.
Oh, Liz, yeah.
All right, so Liz.
Ooh, Liz.
You got that quality in your voice that reminded us of Sugar.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. So you're worried that somehow you've desensitized yourself, right?
Yeah.
All right, that can happen, usually not in 2 months. How come you don't incorporate that into what you're doing with your boyfriend?
Well, see, I mean, I don't know. We just got together and see, I used to be real crazy with my last boyfriend and this other guy.
Yeah, I'm just
like
getting loud and clear. I'm not into this guy.
Yeah.
That's what I keep hearing.
No, I don't know. I am, but he's just not as, you know, I'm not as crazy with him yet.
Whatever. Right? You're not as attractive. You know, he's not the abusive, right, unavailable bad boy. He's probably somebody who's actually available for a relationship. And no, you can't feel sexual if the guy's actually available for intimacy.
Well, ouch. Wow. Ouch. Wow.
Well, no, I see. And now you put it that way. And now I'm going, oh, my God, is that how it is? Scary. But no, yeah. I mean, I am attracted to him, and he's like the nicest guy ever.
He's building the case.
Oh, that's death, baby. Nicest guy ever.
When it comes to the whole sexual thing, it's just not working.
So I will repeat myself. I'll repeat myself, Liz. I will repeat myself. It's hard for you to feel sexual, thinking somehow that feels like a bad part of yourself. Hard to expose that fully to somebody that is nice, a guy you're supposed to be with, a guy who's actually available for intimacy. So what you do is cheat or sabotage or do something. So come on, just go ahead and be available for this relationship.
Yeah.
Get into it a little bit. Don't hold back.
Okay.
You're not going to freak him out or scare him off or, you know, expose yourself to something you can't handle.
I don't know. She may be too young for this. She's 21. She may not be out of her bad boy phase
yet.
Yeah,
could be.
I'm working on it.
I know, but you may be working on this for another 8 or 10 years.
Oof.
Yeah, that's true.
3 years. 3 years.
What was the last boyfriend like before this guy?
Well, see, we were on and off for, like, years. We loved messing with each other and screwed around with each other.
Liz, you're just describing. Give her the right question.
We were bad, yeah. But we loved it.
Yeah, well, it's because your dad was horrible, too.
What did your dad do? Cheat on your mom?
Oh, no.
No, just not available.
No, I seriously, and, like, I never dated, like, bad boys before this one either. Mm. But then, I mean, it just went out. We were serious, everyone.
All right, look. What 21-year-old chick doesn't go through the bad?
Yeah,
what
19-year-old
chick doesn't go through the bad boy thing? Regardless how the father is.
Yeah, yeah. But she seems committed a little bit. But all right, yeah, you're right.
All right. So settle in. You want to settle in? Settle in.
There you go.
And look, everybody, all you chicks that do that thing where you go, look, seems like you're not into the guy so much, and you go, oh, he's the greatest guy in the world.
If he's
the greatest guy in the world, let's start blowing him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's the greatest guy in the world. Doesn't he deserve a little BJ?
So make him happy.
Make him happy. He's the greatest guy in the world. How about you treat him like a 5 millionth greatest guy in the world? You know what I mean?
Right. Not the last guy on
Earth. He's so great. You pay him with a little sex. Tired of people talking about
we've never said that explicitly, but that is a really important
point. Stop talking about how great a guy is, and how about giving him some ass? Why should the a-holes be buried in vagina? An avalanche of vagina. The criminals, the abusers, the neglectors, the...
Did God set it up that
wayward
way?
Wayward dads, yeah. Why does this guy have to claw over a sea of vagina to get out of his apartment every day? But the great guys, the nice guys, the salt of the earth, your buddy, your friend, wouldn't hurt a fly, treats me with respect. Why does that guy get an ounce of poontang? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
How about you chicks start paying that guy back? This guy should get Citizen of the Year. What is his reward? Where's his pot at the end of the rainbow?
The other guy's just out satisfying his own whim.
Other guy is a rambling man.
Yeah, he's rambling. He has to ramble.
He must ramble. Has no choice but to ramble. No, the other guy looks out for number one. He looks out
That's
for himself,
period.
And he just uses you like a stepping stone.
Mm-hmm.
You're just
I'm attracted. I'm stopped. I can't stand it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so attracted to that.
He'll chew you up and spit you out. He'll use you. He'll use you like an old Kleenex and just discard you. Yeah, they love
that.
Step
back and look at that, ladies. Come on.
Would you stop rewarding those guys with sex? Stop it. You can control their behavior, by the way. The day his poontang well dries up, he's gonna show up with a carnation and a bow tie, and he'll be at your door with a pomade in his hair. Greeting your father. Hello, Mr. Kowalski. It's a pleasure to make your acquaintance. Is Diane upstairs?
The Fuller Brush Man all of a sudden.
The Fuller Brush.
He will. He'll be at your door, scrubbed up, ready to sell.
Hold on. I'm going to give Engineer Chris $50 if he knows who the Fuller Brush Man is.
Why not just $100?
Okay, let's make it $100,000. Let's make it $100 million. Go get the deed to my home.
One of your homes.
Fuller Brush Man.
No,
I didn't even know what he did. He sold brushes.
Yeah, he sold nonsense at the door.
Right.
That's
right.
The point.
Hello, ma'am. Are you the woman of the household? And might I say that's a fine dress you're wearing.
Encyclopedia salesman, vacuum salesman.
Right.
That's what these guys would be instantly, overnight.
Right. You women could take all the bad boy a-holes, who, by the way, we have to deal with out there, too.
And they don't see them for what they are. It's hysterical.
No. Oh, no. The guy comes in. He's got the bandana and the dangly earring. Leather chaps pulled up
the baffle out of the exhaust. Hurt and crying underneath.
Yeah, he's so
I can connect with that.
You dumb broads fall for all that crap and then perpetuate it. And we get a whole new generation of these a-holes coming along. And why not? If it ain't broke.
Oh, that's how they optimize their gig.
These guys do nothing but bang you, and they bang your friends, and the world's nicest guy. Oh, he's the sweetest, he's the smartest, he's the most dedicated, he's the world's nicest guy. He gets nothing. He gets to go home to... He go home... He
get,
can
get a little cathartic. Get a little cathartic.
He can spray a little of your perfume on a sock and sniff it while he masturbates. Lauren.
You did that? You really?
Put a little on the arm, wasn't a sock.
Oh, dude.
Well, let me tell the olfactory sense is true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Very important.
Yeah. All right, let's take a little break.
That's deep, man.
That's strong stuff, yeah. Man. And you know, Chris, you know, this speech, you know, this would benefit.
Yeah, that's right. I've seen him crawl over this, what do you call it, the wall or sea?
A vagina. Yeah, yeah. Chris, I'm talking.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? All right. How things going for you? You got a lady?
Pretty good.
You do got a lady?
Oh, no, not right now.
Oh, okay. Not right now.
Not right now.
Well, you know, you got a job.
That's right.
And first things first, Adam.
First things first. All right. We will we'll take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll talk to Celia, obligated to help cheating ex. Multi-orgasmic.
Oh, no, wait a minute. It's a guy?
Guy. True. When'd you go gay? All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling Loveline. Your call will be answered in the order it seems interesting.
Call Loveline. Call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yeah, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'd give that audience phone number out for my TV show, but I forgot it.
Uh-oh. Was it Hey Adam or something?
It was 866.
Want me to get it, Adam? I can check last night's show.
No. 866, Hey Adam. That was Engineer Anderson. It's always unclear to me whether Engineer Anderson's on the air or off the air.
Yes. That was on.
That was on. I'm going with 866, Hey Adam. Call that number, Engineer Chris. That'll be the last thing you do before you leave.
Here, I got it. It's right here. It's 866-546-6984.
546-6984. Thank you. That
probably,
was fast.
Probably Patty wrote it down last night.
That Patty, I'll tell you, that's why I call her Golden Patty. She's a golden girl, that Patty. Patty's the chick, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, let me do a little quick bit of business here for the Durex condom party pack. Which includes, and here's the deal, we're going to give this out to the best call of the night. So, something to vie for, kiddies. Party pack includes CDs, a poker set, money.
It's not even the best call of the night. It's the call
it's the last call of the night.
Call we decide to give it to.
Well, when producer Ann comes in here at 11:54 and reminds me I haven't picked anybody, that's when
call.
We pick them.
That's the call of the night.
But then again, I mean, I can't believe they're not lining up around the block for this because it includes CDs and money.
And poker chips.
And poker chips. What CDs? I've been asking for a number of years.
They were good. Remember? They told us
what CDs they were, and then they said, don't mention what CDs they are. Yeah.
But they were good.
Yeah, they were good. And the money they didn't mention, so I'm going to take that as a bad sign. But you get money, you get condoms, you get a whole poker set, and better than a hot poker in the eye, speaking of poker. Anyway, you got to be 18 years or older, and just remember, there's sex, and then there's Durex. You ready to go, Drew?
Here we go.
Just Celia.
Okay, Adi?
All right.
Now, what is that sound?
That's a cash register, isn't it? Are you working, Celia?
Oh, sorry. Oh, my gosh. I didn't know what, it was on.
What's happening?
What are you doing?
My car door was open, and the, you know, noise was going.
Let me just say this, Drew. If there was a car that was $30,000,
yeah,
and they said, "Look, MSRP on the car, sticker price." Well, you get out the door, you get about $32,500. It's about sticker, without the super annoying chirps and whistles and stuff that lets you know the headlights on or the doors ajar every time you turn the key or the seatbelt. It's $85,000 without those bells. I'd be like, "Go get it, go get it." It'll pay for itself in the first year. Just all that chirp. You know, you ever do that when you do that thing where it's like you want to hear the radio in the car, but you open the door and you're standing outside and the thing is just we're living in one goddamn nonstop chirp. That's all society's turned into. Yeah. I sit in my office all day and listen to the heavy equipment backing up down the street. Meep, meep, meep. beep. I get in the car, beep. How many goddamn beeps can we hear a day? Drew, I'm going to start tallying these beeps up. I think it's into the thousands a week that you hear.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is get in and out of your car four times a day. You're going to hear 1,500.
Yes.
Beep, beep. You ever do a thing, too, where it's in a constant beep, beep, beep mode because you're talking on the phone or you're having
Hers
talk?
Was kind of wild one.
Celia's never, never going to end. Yeah. All right, hold on a second. Celia?
Yeah.
Open your car door again for us with your keys
yes.
in.
So
yes.
Right as you were saying that, I got another beep on my phone.
Well, the phone's beeping. But at least But here's my point about the phone beeping. It is telling you something.
Right.
The other thing is just telling you something you already know, that your keys are in the ignition of your car.
Yeah.
What, is anyone ever surprised? What the hell? The keys? What are the keys doing in the ignition of the car? I'm only in my driveway in the car. Why aren't those keys upstairs in the nightstand where they belong?
And by the way, if you're going to get out and leave the keys, you're going to leave the keys.
The way cars are now, they don't lock without it anyway. Right. You got to use the stupid button to lock the stupid car anyway. You got to hit the remote on the key ring. It's virtually impossible. Here's the other thing. I would rather, and as far as the door jar or whatever that is, I would rather fall out of the effing car twice a year than hear that thing every goddamn day of my life. Just beep, beep. It's just nonstop beeps and bells. Every goddamn thing. Lawnmowers have buzzers on them now and they back up. It's like there's nothing you can open. There's no key you can turn. There's no vehicle you can put into gear or reverse. There's nothing that doesn't have a goddamn tone associated with it anymore.
That's annoying.
It's just driving me nuts.
Yeah.
I would like to know how many beeps the average person hears a day.
A day?
Or let's just say a month or a week.
Too high to count.
And then what effect it has.
In terms of actually benefiting behavior?
Yeah.
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 You probably get one near miss for every 30,000 beeps.
Yeah, and the near miss isn't life-threatening. It's just you almost left the lights on in your car.
You would have gotten it anyway.
You would have walked around the front of the car and see the headlights
on. Right.
God damn. I would pay an extra $40,000 if they made a car without the beeps. Mm. That's all.
Somebody will call.
Celia?
Yes?
All right. So what's up?
Well, first off, I'm Ethiopian and I'm Muslim, and I've been dating this guy.
Wait. Slow down. You're what?
Ethiopian.
Okay.
And Muslim.
And Muslim, yes.
Okay. All right.
And I've been dating this black guy for about 2 years now.
All
right. And he's Christian.
Okay.
And when we first started out, he hadn't told me that he was still dating his ex-girlfriend.
Wonderful.
So until about 3 months into our relationship.
Welcome to America.
Yeah. Black guy too. What? All right.
And then we continued, and I thought, you know, well, everybody makes mistakes, and it was really early on in our relationship, so I don't know. I kind of forgave him.
What do you look like when you're Ethiopian?
I'm gorgeous.
No, you're hot, but is it just sort of black, skinny black? What do you got going?
You look,
you have to, like, high cheekbone-y black?
Yeah, sort of high cheekbones, like, you know, really strong facial features.
Right.
Isn't Ethiopia the original Nubia?
I don't know. It's like you're the first people on the planet, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Should I go get the progression chart of Ethiopia, by the way?
What do you mean?
Well, I just mean, you know, from they got here first.
Yeah.
They could be a little further along.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm saying. They come over here and they speed up.
All right, I see.
Celia does.
They've been flatlining for a while over there. Yeah, but it's the cradle of civilization, right?
Near it, yeah.
They're close enough. All right.
How are Ethiopia?
Yeah, I prefer to think of it as the spittoon of civilization. What happened to good spittoon humor, Drew? People getting their foot caught in a spittoon?
Oh, yeah.
Spitting in a spittoon. A lot of spittoon humor. Wait a minute.
Engineer. The spit crawl up the side.
Engineer Chris.
Hey, Chris, do you know what a spittoon is?
A what?
Oh, dude.
Really? Spittoon? Okay. Celia.
Yes.
That's
really funny.
You're Ethiopian.
Yes.
If I saw you, would I just think I wouldn't think you're American black, would I, or would I?
No, everybody guesses everything, like from Fijian, Indian. I've gotten French before. Like, people don't know what I am. Especially,
but your skin tone is it black, right?
Well, it's sort of goldeny, lightish.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that. All right. My like a little cream in my coffee.
And milk, like milk chocolate and caramel.
But, okay. That's hot, but that's not everyone from your country, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But it depends on if you go into some tribal areas, like they look a little bit darker. Different.
Okay. All right. So Ethiopian is milky, caramely? Mm-hmm. I thought it was darker. Okay. No. All right.
Anyway. How did you end up over here?
My parents moved here 20 years ago, and they had me their first year here in Seattle. And then they just pretty much started to go to school and learn the language. And
okay. And your parents are both full-blown Ethiopian?
Yep.
All right.
And so what's going on with this boyfriend?
This guy, like, I've been taking care of him since the day I met him. And, like, with all of his emotional problems and his parents were divorced.
Didn't you hear us yelling about this a few minutes ago?
Yeah, why?
Yeah,
why?
I was listening. Because I don't know why. I thought, like, I guess I expected when you love somebody, you go all out. Like, there's no limit, you know, because they're not going to take advantage of you. But slowly.
That is a grave, grave misconception.
Yeah, and people, especially women, but men do it too, really hide behind that.
But I love him.
And when you love, or pardon me for loving somebody, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. It's BS. You love somebody, but you love yourself. And if they don't love you back or they don't treat you with respect, you got to shut it off.
Yeah. I know that now because, I mean, I was depressed last semester and I didn't want to take the meds like when they first offered them to me because of all the side effects. And then I just started this summer on Paxil. Mm-hmm. So I've been working through a lot of self-esteem and.
Here's
this guy really wore you down.
let me say this, young newbie and Celia, young creamy caramely Celia, beautiful Celia. Here's what I want to say, guys. In general, don't change. But if, and that's a big if, they do change, it's in their later 30s.
Yeah, it's after their 20s.
It ain't 22.
After 20.
Well, he's 25. And, well, actually, no.
After their 20s.
He's still got a good eight to 10 years.
This does not sound like a guy. The guys that change don't come with all the emotional baggage.
And guys that change, and look, Drew, I know you're a fan of this because you look at yourself as a man who's changed, a man whose passion ruled the land. His passion was the law of the land.
All lands.
He's a torrent and sensual passion that wouldn't say no. You know, there was no such thing as no to Drew's passion. But the point is, Drew, you weren't a bad guy back in the day. You weren't an irresponsible guy. You were just a guy who was a guy and had some opportunities and seized those opportunities like any guy who had some opportunities as a younger man. And then once you, check 1,700 candy stripers off your list, it was time to settle down. The point is you weren't a bad guy. Bad guys really don't change.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a difference between a bad guy and a guy who acts bad for a period of his life.
Correct.
And that bad isn't even that bad.
Right.
That's just doing what any guy would do. It's like saying, why do young celebrity heartthrob males always seem to cheat on their... Well, they can.
Yeah.
I mean, you try going to Canada for 3 months and shooting a film and have hot strippers throw themselves at you when you're 23 and you got a girlfriend waiting for you back in L.A., you're going to cheat. Why do those guys cheat? Believe me, any guy would cheat if you put him in that situation. I don't necessarily say that's a bad guy. That's just a 23-year-old guy with opportunity.
That guy at 35, though, is heading towards bad guy.
If he keeps it going.
Yes.
Right. Now, this guy could be a bad guy.
He sounds like and the, even if the taking care of business and the sacrifice.
Yeah, there ain't going to be a lot of change.
Yeah, no.
Don't look.
She is not. Above all else, Celia, what you must know is you are not going to change.
Not going to happen on your watch.
Not on your watch. Nothing you can do will make a difference in who he is.
And
nothing.
Drew.
All you do. Rescue. Think about this. Can I talk to you real quick?
Yeah.
Which is Celia.
Yeah.
When you rescue somebody, when somebody needs rescuing, you never allow them the opportunity to build the internal resources to get themselves out of situations. They always then need rescuing. Always. So rescuing is one of the more unhealthy things you can do for somebody you care about. All right?
Well, and unhealthy, but shouldn't...
No, you don't rescue.
Ah, forget it. Just take them meds, baby, and flush another couple years down the toilet chasing
therapy,
this guy around.
Al-Anon. Ooh-wee. Going to defend rescuing. Read my book, Cracked. Talks about that in great detail.
Read my book. Don't read Drew's book, Cracked. Just came out with that book.
You've perfected that, by the way. You probably should make a handbook to tell someone how to do that, because you have perfected that.
How funny would it be if I just used my own money to publish a book called Don't Read Drew's Book?
All right.
Let's take a break, buddy. Come on, buddy.
All right.
Come on, buddy.
All right. Let's break it
down. All right. Let's go. Let's break it down. I'm going to explain to Angie what Christmas Spittoon is during the break. And we'll be right back after this.
Hello. This is your radio. Radio. Loveline will be right back.
Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Here's another phone number for you if you want to come and be in the audience while I tape my Comedy Central show out in beautiful Hollywood, California. You just call 866-546-6984. I think that's 866-HEY-ADAM. H-E-Y. Adam. Yeah. Hey, Adam. It's a good number. Glad we got it. Matt?
Yeah.
25?
Yes, sir.
You're a military guy?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
All right. I got back from Iraq about 6 months ago. Mm. And since then, you know, go out drinking, all that good stuff with my friends. Mm. And if some of the nights when I get lucky enough, I'm going home with a girl. Mm-hmm. And I have no problem being aroused. I can be getting, what's the way to put this without getting in trouble?
Oral?
Yeah, there we go. Mm. I can be getting that from her, but then once it comes time to seal the deal, no more.
You lose your erection.
So at the point of,
are you ever able to penetrate, or is it the point when you're about to do that?
It's the point where it's when I'm about to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can get as far as getting a condom on, and then... Yeah. From there, it's just like it's gone.
Yeah, the condom's a stumbling point.
Yeah,
a lot of guys trip up that phase.
No, we know, but a lot of guys lose their erection with the condom.
Yeah,
they're somehow breaking the rhythm, and
I'm just wondering. I don't know. This may not be cured until you just get something. You got to get something regular going. You can't just go bar hopping.
Well, and, you know, one girl that happened to, you know, I was thinking, oh my, this is embarrassing as all heck, you know. And we actually went out again, and the same thing.
Yeah, he's not meaning to see somebody twice.
I'm not trying to bang the same hose back twice in a weekend. I mean, actually just getting into
a relationship.
Just get a girlfriend.
Yeah. Are you on any medication?
No.
Have you had any sort of Iraq war stuff, any problems that way?
Well, it's kind of hard, you know, because when my platoon goes in, it's, you know, 35 guys sitting in there. And the first guy that admitted to a problem like that, we'll just say he's pretty much the laughing stock of our platoon right now. I know it's wrong.
Well, wait a second. What did you do in Iraq?
I was a medic, and still am a medic.
Well, you didn't answer my question, though. You know, there's some people are having chronic fatigue and low sperm counts, all this kind of stuff. You have any of that stuff going on?
I don't know about the sperm count, because I haven't gone as far. Counts it? You know,
I'm just saying, drops.
All right. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Matt.
Yeah.
Medics.
Yes, sir.
That's a worse gig than the guy got blown up, in my weird opinion.
Why?
I'll just tell you. The thing about medic is, especially these guys, you know, who are in countries, they say.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, they were hitting the beach at Normandy.
Right.
They were, you know, island hopping in the Philippines. They were all, you know, Battle of the Bulge in Europe. These medics, they're getting shot. They're right in the middle of stuff.
Mm.
I mean, guys on the front line steps on a landmine or gets shot in the neck or something. He's just screaming for medic. You got to go running out there. People are just sniping at you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about these wonderful countries whose ass we had to kick in these wars. They would just shoot at the medics. They didn't care.
Right.
Guys wearing the Red Cross on them. These guys were getting blown away. And they're the first on. It's not like, oh, okay, you guys go secure the beach and the medics will be in a couple of days to, you know, pitch a tent. They're just during the first wave, all these guys. They didn't really get that much credit because there were medics. There were, like, you know, nurses running around. Imagine how many guys these guys saw die. I mean, you talk about one of these campaigns in the Philippines or one of these campaigns on the beachheads. You're on the first wave, guys just screaming all around, just guts everywhere. You're just stabbing people with morphine needles and giving them last rites. Just death everywhere. And you're just getting shot at in the front. You know what I mean?
Talk to him, but does he have that kind of experience?
No. Matt was in the rear.
That make you lose
gear.
Your election. Your action, rather.
Yeah.
Matt, any action for you? Any blood and guts?
I saw a total of 18 guys, their bodies, and one of the guys actually was able to pull out on my web gear after the fact. As I was taking it all off and we were going through everything, I realized I had a bullet hole through some of my gear. I wasn't actually hit.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, that'll screw with the
Pepe
just a little bit. Yeah. All right.
All right. We say get a girlfriend. Get good. You practice with the condom. Maybe even master it with the condom on to get used to the feeling of the condom.
I'm telling you, beat off. Get halfway into it. Stop. Turn the light on. Put a condom on, and then finish into the condom.
Practice. Why not?
Why not? They're cheap. Go to the gay bar.
You practice everything else.
Go to the gay bar and grab a handful from that big fishbowl in front. Yeah, let's take a break. All right. We'll be right back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yeah, everybody.
Everybody listen to Adam.
Woo, everyone listen to Adam. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew in the hizzy. Eddie Griffin coming in here tomorrow night from Deuce Bigelow.
Big lineup the rest of the week.
European Gigolo and Rob Schneider's coming in. Pennywise coming in. Big week. Everyone listen to me. All right. What's going on there, buddy? You ready to rock?
I'm ready to rock.
Mark?
Yeah.
14?
Yep.
What's up?
I saw porn for the first time when I was about 10 years old. I was at my friend's house, and I started watching, this internet, by the way, I started watching about a regular basis for about 2 years. It was 2 years ago. I was 12. I was wondering the effects when I'm an adult. I heard you mention things briefly on the show. I was wondering, like, specifically what could happen.
Well, we don't exactly know if you think about it.
Specifically, we cannot predict with any degree of accuracy.
Well, yeah, most people. What?
No, I can't even say most people. I can say that if you had a sexual compulsion, we might be able to hearken it back to something that you experienced as overwhelming and traumatic and highly stimulating before your brain was sort of cemented, ready to handle that sort of thing. So it may, you know, it's got to have some effect, but to sort of specify what that effect is, it's hard to say. It may make you compulsive sexually. It may make you...
Let's just put it this way. There's been many a guy before you who, without the aid of porn, has gone on to rape and serial kill.
And by the same token, there are plenty of people before you who've been exposed to stuff and had no long-term or huge effects.
Right.
Do you think there's something going on for you now?
No. I feel fine when I do it. I don't feel any, like, different.
But you're not compulsed. You're not doing it all the time. You're not losing, school or relationships or anything like that.
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, look.
You're supposed to do that.
Couple things, Drew.
Yeah.
First off, couple thoughts. It's like I was looking at Grand Theft Auto today.
Yeah.
The video game. Mm-hmm. And, I was just, was always kicking around out there, and I was always one of these guys that's like, please, don't let the man dictate what people, let the market dictate and stuff like that. Then you go look at Grand Theft Auto. Take a look at Grand Theft Auto. It's just guys killing cops, guys strangling nuns.
Yeah.
He's putting M80s up retarded kids' asses. I mean, just blood, guts flying everywhere. I mean, we watch it. It's like your first impulse is, oh, my God, who's watching this? Who's playing this? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What? No way. Mm. No, this should not be seen. You know what I mean? Let's pull these off the shelves immediately. Now, that being said, 30 billion kids spend 30 billion hours a month playing this game, and none of them do anything. And then once in a while, a guy does do something. But
was it the game or
was it the game? Because guys did stuff before video games. That's right. You know what I mean? You know, somebody said to me today, what about, you know, does this stuff lead to this Columbine stuff and that kind of stuff? And I said, look, when you think about the number of inaccessibility of automatic weapons, handguns, and what have you, grenade launchers in this country, and the and then put that number and that accessibility up against the number of depressed, angry, outsider kids,
physically abused,
physically
by their
abused,
dad.
Sexually abused,
yeah.
Teens.
It's
out
amazing
there
we
in
don't
the
have.
World. Well, one a year certainly be well within reason with the number of schools and the number of cities and the number of states. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
There should be one every 5 years at Columbine, you know, according to my statistics.
Right.
Not you know, every state should have one once a year.
Mm-hmm.
At least. I mean, really, think about it.
Yeah, where are you going to stop, too? Are you going to have,
well, there's billions of...
any commando war movies all going to have to get rid of all that? Because
that's the whole thing. I mean, there's millions of effed up teens and millions of handguns and assault weapons in circulation, and yet this stuff is a very rare occurrence, which is a damn good sign. So now when it comes to porn, we don't know what looking at porn since age 10 is going to do for young males or young females. I think that the jury's still out on that to a certain degree.
The kind of thing I hear about historically in people that have sexual compulsion related to premature sexualization with sexual images tends to be someone that grew up around tons of porn. And it was their dads.
Yeah.
Just in their house all the time. That's when it has a weird effect on the kids.
And, you know, the other, well, it's also the effect of daddy indulging in porn, which freaks him out too. And now you got this guy for your dad.
Right.
Larry Flint for your dad.
Yeah.
But the other thing is maybe the first generation or two is sort of the guinea pig porn, you know.
As we find out.
We'll find out. Well. Yeah. It'll be so commonplace and so passe.
You're right. Listen, technology is what we've been sorting out as it pertains to our sexual behavior since the birth control pill.
Right.
That's sent everything spiraling, and we're still settling down from that, and now we have these things coming in, pouring down on us, the pornography and the internet and whatnot. It's going to take a while.
Well, when you were a kid, if someone would have told you there was a computer, a magic box, for which there was no bottomless porn, whatever, what's your thing? You like the Asian chicks? You like the big jugs? Who's celebrity? Who do you like? Farrah Fawcett? We'll find a picture of her naked. I mean, just the idea of basically the Paris Hilton or Pam Anderson video being out there when you're a 14-year-old boy and you've been watching the Surreal Life or whatever the hell show she was barely working or whatever the stupid whatever life show. You're watching that show and all of a sudden you're into that show because it's too hot. Chicks on it, and by the way, that, you know, you're 14, they're 20, and it's like these older hot chicks and there's porn with her in it. We go through the roof,
like you said once. You'd have to put a hole in the side of the computer.
Dive in. Be like the Lidsville hat,
just for part of you going in.
You made a pretty big hole. So you should have said hole. Here's like you're popping a balloon. But here's the thing. We would have gone insane with this possibility. Now,
explain what we used to do at 14 in RJ.
Well, let's put it this way. I recently ran across the Playboy that was at the guy's house I used to babysit for, that I used to look at when I used to babysit at the guy's house at 13 or 14.
Which one was it?
It was like...
What was on the front?
It was white with it, like chick's lingerie. It was probably like 1979, 1978, and had like hot secretaries in there. They've all died of cancer since then, but super smoking hot in the centerfold, and I was just staring at it, just going ballistic.
And you'd make special trips over there just to look at those pictures.
Well, I would babysit over there, and I would just stare at that thing.
Surprised it just combust.
It should have. The heat generated from my prying eyes. Yeah, I would just stare at this thing. And, you know, so here's my point. I think kids may become hardened to pornography.
Oh, we don't know. You're right. They may become desensitized. Interesting.
Your kids' kids. Drew,
they might need more
are going to be looking at pornography in the womb. They're actually going to pipe fiber optic pornography
well,
in there.
Well, can't reach out and grab it. It's...
And just project it on the womb.
But, you know, you wonder if it's going to increase the sort of sexualization and the fetishization of women.
But
you need more arousal in order to feel sexual.
But let's look at it this way, Drew. I grew up in a house where there was a bunch of crappy health food and nothing to eat, so I'm constantly hungry. You know what I mean? And so the result of that was me going to people's houses and going nuts,
yes,
eating.
Right, the deprivation.
The deprivation part. There are other kids out there that always had a cupboard filled with snacks and goodies, and they never were really much interested in them.
Yep.
All right. I wonder if it's the same way with this stuff to a certain degree.
It'll be interesting to see.
The deprivation part created the hunger, and the part where it's you can get it anywhere you want, you still look at it, still got to eat. But
so once again, the males
not
become
the obsession
like,
with
like
it.
Zoo, domesticated animals.
Yeah.
This is the part where we're losing the capacity to deal with cars.
Right. We needed to be able, we had to go hunt in the wild, and now we're just waiting for the fat lesbian to slop us before she goes to bed. Yeah?
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting for.
Clay?
Evening, gents. How's it going?
22. Evening, Clay. I like that name, Clay.
Yeah, rolled off the tongue. But here's the deal, guys. I am a multi-orgasmic male.
Well, now, wait a minute.
I'm intrigued.
Keep yeah, but people you misuse that term.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking about that while I was on hold. Like,
you can have sequential orgasms. That's not multi-orgasmic.
Well,
multi-orgasmic
well,
means...
Well, this for a male.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's sequential orgasm.
Doesn't multi just mean more than one?
No. Multi-orgasm means repeated orgasms without any refractoriness.
Like a very
only women could do that. What?
All right, hold on a second. Drew, multi does mean more than one.
Yeah, but I mean, but in terms of what people are really talking about when they
say... Well, let me say this, Drew. Can we, Drew's very stubborn on this point.
It's semantics.
It's semantics. Can't we define the multi-orgasm differently for male and female?
We could.
Well, let's do that, because what I'm saying, if males are not
physiologically
capable of doing it, I know you're angry about these guys who claim they're having multiple orgasms. Look,
sequential orgasms, men and women can have sequential orgasms, particularly when they're 18 to 22. That happens. Most people can do that.
Most guys at 18 or 22 can do two, maybe three.
Right, as you say, same boner.
New jizz.
Yeah, and same thing with women. They can have a couple, but the fact is, the whole notion when people started researching multiple orgasms, they were interested in the fact that these women could have repeated climaxes without any refractoriness, like every 30 seconds until they fatigued.
Right. That doesn't exist for men.
Right.
Clay.
Yeah, for me, it's like...
Yeah.
It'll take, 30 seconds for me to come for the first time.
Yeah,
and
right.
Then immediately after that, it's like I can have 5 or 6 and 10 or 15 second increments after that.
Ooh, getting close.
Ooh.
And I had to learn how to do it, too.
Yeah, let's...
How do you not run out of fluid?
I do. There's nothing coming out, but it's still... And it's weird. It's like it's not a full orgasm each time. Like, you learn how to do it, like, you know how, like, orgasm has two parts to it, I guess, where, like, you have, you draw in, and then you kind of, blow out, I guess, if that makes any sense.
No.
And what I do is...
No. You suck the air in through your ass or through the urethra?
Through the ass, yeah. No, but through, and so you feel all that, like, energy kind of pulling in.
Again, the people declare the semantics as it suits them. Well,
having convulsions after his first orgasm or something.
Or he's having near orgasms or having sort of contractions.
Well, this is what it always boils down to with guys. Guys come in here, they write books, 200 orgasms in 200 minutes and that kind of stuff. And he's like, what? Please. And then you talk to the guy, well, nothing's coming out.
Yeah.
I see.
And I'm not actually climaxing. I'm just having contractions as though...
Yeah.
Because that's a more...
Why don't you write a book called How to Write a Screenplay Without Actually Putting Words on the Paper?
Perfect.
200 pages is blank. Awesome. Yeah, nothing's coming out. Technically, by your definition, I'm having an orgasm now. The world's worst orgasm, because you're sitting here. But nothing's coming out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, Clay.
Nothing comes out. I mean, I run out eventually, but something comes out the first time.
Thank you, Clay. Something comes out the first time for all for everybody, and then that's it.
Well, but I still climax, but it's just there's no fluid left.
All right. I'll buy that. The part I'm a little confused about is the part where you suck in before it comes out.
I still have the climax, but you suppress the part that ends that makes you lose your orgasm, I guess. Because there's like a mechanical part of it that makes you lose your orgasm. So you suppress, mm-hmm. Lose your erection. You
right.
suppress that part of it, and you can keep going. And you just...
What do you... what do you need from us, Clay?
Well, here's the deal. I want to know... I mean, it's good when you're in a monogamous relationship and they're on birth control. You don't have to use a condom. But when you're using a condom... It kind of complicates things because, I'm worried about. There's two options. I can
after you ejaculate. If you keep having sex, that condom's going to slip off and spill into the vagina. So once there's fluid in there, you got to stop, take it off, wash off, put a new one on.
Right.
That's it.
All right. Get into a monogamous relationship. Clay.
What?
I'm just picturing Clay. He's had his first real orgasm. Now he's over you, but now he's working himself manually. But he's still got that weird face on. Furled, sweaty brow.
Oh, my God.
Tight puka shells around the neck.
I didn't think about that this evening. I didn't.
Clay working for his 13th now. You're just lying there trying to get out of the line of fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's happened to you a few times, huh?
I'd be worried about a guy who's just too into his orgasm. You know?
Yeah.
You know that guy? Taste it. You know that guy?
I think it's
just becomes obsessed with his orgasm. You know that guy? Guys are such a mess.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Such
such
a balance. Well, I'm just trying to think of guys, you know. I mean, there are guys out there that are sort of normal sexually. I guess their girls are too. And, ultimately, that's who you'd like your kid to marry. But it just seems like there's such a wide spectrum,
yeah.
And there's so much room for disaster.
Oh yes.
All right, Ashley.
Hello.
You're 18.
Yes.
Ooh, you hear that voice, Sarah?
A little bit. What's going on?
A little bit of a little girl.
Oh my gosh. Well, when I was about 14, I was date raped by my neighbor that I lived next door to for, like, almost all my life.
See, we would bet that wasn't the first time.
No, we think
like
something softened you up for that. Anything?
But,
You're not going to tell us?
No, or yeah, or what?
She's not going to tell us.
Well, he...
Ashley.
Yeah, uh-huh.
What's important... yes, this important what happened, you were 14. 14 you were?
She's 14.
Yeah.
But what's even more important is what happened before that.
Oh, well, my dad left when I was about 6, so.
Why'd he leave?
My mom.
What's wrong with your mom? But,
well, she's very controlling, and he didn't really want to deal with that whole child support issue and the kids crying, so he just kind of left, but he came back, so.
That's nice. All right, and he wasn't abusive in any way?
No, but my mom was.
Your mom was abusive.
What would she do to you?
Well, there was this whole thing where she's just a very controlling person. And when we were younger, she had to go to, like, those classes because they went through that whole divorce thing, the parenting classes.
Yeah.
And also, she just, when I turned, like, 13, we just had it just together. I was a really good kid, but she always seemed to, like, pick on me. And she's just very, I was, like, a perfect kid, and she just picked on me a lot, and then it ended up getting violent, and I don't know, I met that guy, and he took me out for my first night. I had a boyfriend at the time.
Wow.
And he asked me if I wanted to sneak out and be bad.
Your
neighbor. And, I don't know, I was just like, I never tried marijuana, and he asked me if I wanted to, and I was like, okay, and then that happened that night, and I was a virgin.
How old is the boy?
He was the same age as me.
Right. 14 also.
Yes.
Wow. Huh. It's odd. Right. Operator for 14. And you had a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Did you break up with your boyfriend after this?
Yeah, I told them the next day, and then I didn't want to tell anyone else. Cause,
and did you... But you look at yourself as being raped.
Yeah, it took me... I was kind of in denial the first night. I was really upset, but it took me a long time to realize that I'd been raped, because actually after that I started, like, trying to see him, but he was really, like, abusive. And actually I had to, like, move away.
Did he understand that he had been that he'd raped you? Or did he understand that you didn't want to do what you guys did?
Well, I think so. Like, I stopped talking to him for a long time, and then he apologized.
No. During the actual incident.
What happened? He took you out, you smoked weed, and what happened?
Well, apparently it was laced with PCP, and I didn't know the effect.
Yeah, let me tell you, the amount of weed that people say are laced with PCP is right up there with the amount of people that say
roofies.
They put a roofie in my drink, and it's like, well, I drank about 22 Jaeger shots, but I'm pretty sure one of them had a roofie in it.
Yeah, you don't need that.
No, and today's hydroponic cultured weed is really made by the best minds we have in this country.
You have two hits, hydroponic you're toast.
Weed. One hit, high as a kite, especially if you're 14.
Oh.
So you can just have good weed. The laced with PCP part, I don't think the guys who manufacture PCP wish as much weed was laced with their product as everyone says it was, because they'd be billionaires.
Yeah.
Does anyone make, what do you, do they have PCP anymore?
Yeah, around. But so anyway, you got high with him, and then what happened?
Yeah, well, I don't know how I ended up getting undressed. That's the part that I thought maybe it was true, because he told me that it was supposedly laced. Because I don't remember undressing. I just remember being kind of like out of it. And then all of a sudden, it was almost like I wake up in my mind and I'm being, you know, I'm on the floor. And then I like started to tear up, and like he didn't even like realize it. And I didn't really know what to say or do at that point. So, because he kept trying to come on to me earlier, and I told him, no, you know, I have a boyfriend. And then after, you know, smoking, it was completely different.
Yeah. But here's
you're right that you were not in a mind to render consent.
Yeah.
And you were not in an age to render consent. So you're right, just having sex with that guy under those circumstances.
But unwanted sexual contact.
Look, but here's all unwanted sexual contacts are related to drugs and alcohol. That's really the overwhelming problem is the drug and alcohol issue.
I wouldn't go through my life feeling like I was raped. I would go through my life feeling like I made a mistake. And
I should not do substances when I'm with a guy alone.
Got involved in a situation I didn't need to be involved with. But walking around feeling like you're raped, I don't think it's going to do you much good. The other part of this equation is, ladies who go out with the dangerous guy from next door when he says you want to be naughty and sneak out the window, you've already begun cheating. It's not like the cheating began when your panties came off. The cheating began when you decided to go out with the guy you were attracted to, live next door, to go have a night, a little dangerous night of naughty fun. And if he's coming on to you all night and you're saying, I have a boyfriend, and then says, good, here, have a hit off this bong, and you do it, come on. You're in for cheating. That's just an excuse to lower your inhibitions so you can do what you've been wanting to do with the guy you're attracted to. I'm not saying have sex, but get with physically the guy you're attracted to physically and not feel like you've been cheating on your boyfriend, when in fact, if you weren't going to cheat on your boyfriend, you wouldn't have headed out that night with the guy.
Well, she had a lot of, you were depressed, Ash. There was a lot of stuff going on.
Right.
A lot of stuff going on.
There. All right. So now you're still attracted to this guy. Yes?
Well, I go down by my mom's house and he still lives there, and I'll see him, and I get this like thing where I hate him, but
yeah, you know. Oh boy, you should all pray chicks hate you when you're a young male, because that just means poontang. Oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When chicks hate me, though, they really mean it.
Strangely enough,
that's the problem. Yeah, Ashley, this look. I'm not gonna say this guy's a criminal. I'm not gonna say he's a rapist. I'll go out on a limb and say he's not a great guy.
Yes.
And because you're attracted to him, I know he's not a great guy. This is not some sort of unfinished business you need to take care of. This is a fantasy.
It's a compulsive reenactment of the trauma.
It's a compulsive reenactment.
Yeah. Do not do it. Do not go for it. It's all bad for you.
Yes. Stay out of that.
Get some therapy, please.
Okay. Let's take ourselves
Ash got a lot of stuff going on.
Well, that's what happens when dad splits and mom does her thing.
Yes, that's what happens. And then this guy just does the right thing at the right time and pow, off you go.
Most guys who get what they want in life, whether it be rip someone off by selling them a car who can't afford the people can't afford the payments or nail some chick and get laid, it's about sort of finding opportunities and sliding in. It's not necessarily about being the best. It's not being the most qualified. It's not having the best resume. It's about there's a split second in many people's lives when they go ahead and shut the security down for a second, changing of the guard. Mm-hmm. If you can time it just right, you can get into that bank. Mm. You know what I mean?
And then these guys are opportunists.
They spend their lives looking for the changing of the guard.
Yeah.
That gets them laid, that gets them money, that gets sales, that gets stuff. They get stuff. They get things. They get stuff they want, not because they're good, not because they work hard on it, because they sort of time people.
You know, in a way.
And they know who's ripe for the picking.
There are kind of two kind of people, and we never really discussed this, but there are people that give and that are get because they're very giving and they provide for others and sort of offer something to the world. And they're those that get things by taking them, exploiting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there are two guys out there, essentially. There's the hunters, and then there's the scavengers.
Yeah.
And the scavengers oftentimes eat better than the hunters, and they don't burn as many calories chasing the prey. And that's the way the wild works. Cheetah, puma, lion, they run down a gazelle. They run the thing across the Serengeti. They tackle it by the neck. They kill the prey. And then a pack of hyenas comes around and gets that cheetah out of there. And then they feast on it. That's why they call bad people hyenas sometimes. That's what they do. They capitalize on stuff. They're buzzards. But they eat better, live longer, and burn less calories. They're not getting gored by the gazelle's horns. They're not running miles chasing the prey down. They just jump in after the thing's already done. Kind of what lawyers and publicists do. Really break it down. Rapists, lawyers, and I put publicists at the bottom. All right, let's take ourselves a little break.
Let's play. Let's do.
Be right back after this.
Love line. We'll be right back.
Please hold.
It's Love Line, everybody. 1-800-LOVE-191. Maybe a little number for my Comedy Central TV show if you want to come check that out. Fabulous Hollywood. 866 Hey Adam.
Now get ready for hot horny studs.
866-546-6984. Come see me do a TV show. It's only going to take a half an hour. Now, I'm trying to get a crow expert on the show.
That's funny.
Yeah, because I got my Tack Crows idea.
Yeah, of course.
Here's how TV works. It's like, we're flying a crow expert in. Fantastic. You can't actually have a crow.
Oh, why not?
They're endangered species or something.
Where?
I have no idea.
What about my backyard?
Millions of crows. I grew up. It was like basically like a Hitchcock film in my house. There's nothing but crows overhead. It's circling, making flying arrows and flying V's and wedges. They're in formation over
my
house.
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
actually, like a bow and arrow.
No, it's like V-Day. It's like I'm all of a sudden I'm at the Kremlin, and it's the 50s. Right. The bomber formations of crows are flying overhead. It is Crow Central. I grew up in the San Fernando Valley. I had nothing but crows. Like, sometimes you can't, you know, you can't have a conversation. They're cawing. They're all just laying on the same tree, and they're just yapping at each other. It's like saying rats are endangered species or pigeons or just alley cats. You know, like what? What do you mean? So now, well, you can get. A bird that looks like a crow, but has it white plumage on its chest.
That's a magpie.
Go ahead and,
that's a magpie.
Is that white plumage on the chest?
Yeah, yeah.
White plumage?
That's
maybe
what,
it
when
is.
When we looked it up, Hackle that was
and
it.
Jekyll?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and we take the magpie and we can black that out. And I'm like, now I want to do a show about why I can't get a goddamn crow. And then it's like, yeah, and there's going to have to be a representative from the
Humane Society.
ASPCA.
But they'll let you put shoe polish in the chest of the bird, but not take a crow.
I'm going to get to vomit. Look, all I can tell you is you can't do anything with an animal, not even a crow, without some homo from the SPCA or the ASPCA. What is it? The American Society for Protection of Animals. Yeah, ASPCA coming out there. Yeah. Oh, my God. Please. Oh, by the way, it's not like the guy volunteers his time to come on out there. It's $800. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There has to be a wrangler. There has to be someone watching. If you do something with a dog where the dog runs out on stage, you feed it a biscuit, and then it runs off, they have to get a representative to watch the dogs.
Nice.
What's going on with pets in this world?
We've gone crazy.
With animals.
We've gone nuts.
Newsflash, we eat billions of chickens a year and millions of cows. We worried about the crow? What goes on? What if you weren't there? You know what I mean? What would I be doing with this crow?
Oh, I'm just saying.
Yeah, oh, what happened? You see, too late with Adam Crow? What happened? He raped a crow. Live television. Look, I'm worried about the crow. I need protection from the crow.
Yeah,
you don't need
point.
To protect the crow from me. What could happen to the crow? Here's what I want to do.
Bust in front of the hot lights.
Here's what I'd like to do. We're having a crow on our show, and you have to get a wrangler from the... No, we're not. Well, he's the bylaws. No, 800. No. So sue us. No wrangler. Nobody from the Humane Society to come watch over our shoulder who's just going to sit there and just get fat and eat our food while I do nothing to this crow. No. Something happens to the crow, go ahead and sue us, but no. Can we do this?
Yeah.
Can we wrestle our country back from retards?
No.
Can people just say no?
No.
We haven't had our, whenever you do a production, you have to have these sexual harassment meetings.
Oh, that'll be good.
Oh, you know why it's going to be good?
You won't be there.
No, I won't. I won't permit it.
Oh.
I'm not going to permit anyone to show up. Oh, the show's not going to go on the air.
Good.
It's going to be awesome.
Be nice.
We're going to have a sexual harassment meeting, and I will not let anyone go. It's going to be awesome. And then the insurance won't whatever, and then we won't be able to do the show. And then I'll be a maniac.
And then you'll get your crow.
Yeah. Yeah. Sydney?
When is that going to go down? I want to be there.
Oh, it is going to be awesome.
When is
it? Well, I don't know when it's going to go down, but whenever you do a production,
you got to have your sexual harassment training.
Your sexual harassment training, and I'm not going to do it. Yeah. Drew, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be awesome.
Finally, your time to take a stand.
Awesome. All right, I'll keep you. I'll report this. It's going to be awesome. Probably be at the end of this week.
Oof.
Yeah.
And it's a 1-hour video you have to watch. Or something?
You got to sit down with a fat, dried up coos, and she's got
to
tell you.
She's
got to tell you that orally manipulating vulvas. Of coworkers is not permitted.
What?
No, I don't know what they do. I haven't been to the last five of them they've had, even though they tell you they're going to fire you if you don't show up. I just don't show up. But they do these things like, does anyone know what sexual they start with that stupid. It's always demeaning and retarded. Sydney?
Yeah.
Sleeping? There she is.
What's happening, baby doll?
Nothing, not the past weekend, but the weekend before, my boyfriend came over and he went down on me and he was like fucking really, really hard. And then it kind of got painful and then it was swollen.
Yeah. Pulled the blood.
Traumatized.
Yeah. It's same effect from a wet dry vac.
What?
So it's possible to get a hickey down there? Like, is it a hickey or is it just swollen?
No, it's you squished, you crush the tissue. It's traumatized. You swell after. If you hit yourself with a hammer, it swell too, right?
Well, this is different. Look, when I was a kid, I put a glass on my mouth once. And I sucked it in. You know you do that when you're a kid?
Yeah.
And then you remove your hands and the thing just sticks to your face,
yes.
Right? I did that for an hour. And when I pulled the thing off, I had a big black and blue mark all the way around my face.
There you go.
It was there. I told everyone at school my old man was beating the ass out of me. It was awesome.
That's nice.
It's called payback.
Well, I have another question, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been seeing the counselor, or I just stopped seeing my counselor right now, and people think I'm traumatized because my dad, there's my mom and dad are married, but he's been gone a lot because he's in the military.
Right.
So I've kind of fallen back on, like, I have sex a lot with different guys, and mm-hmm. it's kind of weird for me because I don't want to, but I just do it anyway.
That's not a good sign.
I was just the opposite when I was 18. Really wanted to and just didn't do it. You know what I mean?
But Cindy, it sounds like at very minimum you're depressed.
Yeah. You understand that's how women... There's that's the difference between men and women. It's like, I don't really want to, but I do it all the time anyway.
That's a sign of depression.
Guys are like, I really, really, really want to and never get to do it. And I'm depressed.
Oh. And both are depressed.
We're both equally depressed.
Yeah.
Cry me a river. Sydney.
Yeah.
You're acting out, baby, and you're depressed. And
I've been molested like 4 or 5 times in my lifetime.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Does anybody, your parents know about that?
You're still under the love line curve.
They know about one.
How old were you when they know about it?
I remember one. I was 6 years old, and they were 13. I was in Hawaii at that time. I didn't know what was going on. I thought it was a game. I didn't know what was going on.
Hawaii? So. Was that some sort of military thing?
No.
The vacation?
Well, I don't mean were you on maneuvers.
In my dad was stationed in Hawaii when he.
That's what Adam means.
Okay.
That's with the world's dumbest callers.
All right, so Sydney has a lot going on.
Yes, first off, I knew Sydney from Fresno was not vacationing in Hawaii
right.
when she was 13 because her parents make $800 a year. So when she said Hawaii. I did the quick military math. Here's the thing, everybody. Everything makes sense.
Right. If it doesn't
everything
make sense.
Doesn't make sense.
By definition.
It doesn't make sense.
Right.
We're going to need to figure it out. So you have a horrible dad, but he's in the military. You were in Hawaii 5 years ago. It was now 99 out of 100 people tell you you went to Hawaii. You just assume it's on vacation.
But that's the terrible thing. For some reason, I don't know if it's just natural quality that humans have. Nobody takes that beat and goes. They accept what's coming at them. They don't take the beat and go. Huh, wait, huh? Wait.
Yeah. She was in Hawaii. There's no like station.
It's
there.
Like people don't have a gauge. It's like the gauge goes off the chart. Doesn't no. make sense. We got to bring it back somehow.
Right.
People
All right.
Don't,
Sydney,
do not do that.
Sydney, you're acting out, baby. Let's go.
This is sexual compulsion and maybe even sexual addictions. That's what makes people sexual abuse, sex as a young adult, things you don't want to be doing but you do it compulsively,
mm-hmm.
in and around depression, unpleasant feeling states. That's bad times.
You're spiraling, too.
Yeah.
Shame spiral.
Shame spiral. She is
Shame
in one.
Spiral.
She is in one.
So stop. The first thing you need to do is stop.
Yeah, abstinence.
All right. I want to talk to Dennis here. I know this is bogus. Dennis.
Hello?
Bogus.
Hello?
Bogus.
This isn't bogus.
Oh, now it's really bogus.
Well, what happened?
What happened?
What happened?
What?
What?
Okay.
What? You're making me laugh.
All right. Go ahead. Now it's bogus.
All right. I was in my room looking at gay porn, and my dad, kind of walked in on me, and I haven't talked to him for, 3 days. Yeah. I don't know what to say to him.
What was
liar,
the name of the...
Liar, whore, liar, whore, and you know it.
What was the name of the magazine?
Huh?
You're lying. What makes you lie?
I'm not lying.
Huh? What was the name of the magazine?
It wasn't a magazine. It's an internet site.
No.
And are you gay?
No, I don't know. I'm confused. I like girls. I mean.
What was the name of the internet site?
It's like the Gay Hitchhiker or something.
That's a damn lie, and you know it.
And were you just looking? You just sitting there looking?
Wait a minute. Yeah. What were you doing? And what was on the screen when your dad walked in?
This video.
A what?
It was a video.
Uh-oh.
You have to keep screaming.
And how long was your dad...
Huh?
How long was your dad watching this? Yeah.
Oh, he walked in. I thought he was at the grocery store.
And was he watching for a while so he could tell exactly what it was you were looking at?
No, because I heard the door open, and I kind of froze, and he saw it was on the screen, and he just walked out, I don't know if he's confused or pissed or what. I just
All right, Dennis, I'm going bogus on this.
I'm not. I'm going with that.
The details of the story alone are bad.
Your dad's freaked out, too. Look, he saw the screen. He doesn't want to talk about it. He's avoiding you.
He could have. You smell anything coming from the basement? He could have killed himself days ago.
Look, it just, it doesn't matter. There's nothing really specific about this other than he caught you looking at porn. The type of porn is going to freak him out and scare him. I'm sure he's sort of, he's going to get around to talking to you about this. That's what I suspect. It's not, you're doing anything wrong.
Be honest. You catch your 16-year-old son looking at porn on the website versus gay porn. Yeah. It's tough, buddy.
Either way, you're just going to react and go, oh, now what do we do? You're going to be like,
here's the reality. If you walked in on your 16-year-old son and he was watching gay porn, you would probably have to have one of these "it's okay, son" talks with him.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's working up to that.
Now, if he was watching porn, or as I like to call it, good porn or real porn, the porn God meant man to watch, you would not have to have a conversation with him. You might have a conversation with him about...
How do you keep this stuff out of the hands of a 16-year-old male?
Gay porn?
In any porn.
Oh, no. Impossible. You just pray they're not beating off in the school library looking at computers, you know? Yeah. No, if the guy's got a computer anywhere near a house, I mean, look, you know, short of just putting it in a steamer trunk and covering it with paraffin wax, chaining it up, putting it at the deep end of your swimming pool every day you leave, you know, like some kind of Houdini maneuver. There's nothing you could do to keep your kids on of your computer, especially when they grow up with a computer up their ass.
Yeah.
These kids could hack into the Pentagon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, your kids never knew a day without a computer and could navigate the web much, much faster, much more efficiently than you.
No, I listen, all my computer skills are trying to keep up with them, trying to understand what they're doing.
There's no way you're not going to head them off. Look, Drew, I'm starting a cult. You want in? We need a doctor.
You're going to be the head, or am I going to be the head of the cult?
Hey, look, I'm a builder.
Perez. We'll just be the minion.
We're not going to have a junior college.
Just put college in some white robes. Big miter cap.
I
look great.
I'm just saying, I'm starting a cult, and I'm looking for qualified people who want to raise your kid in a more sterile environment.
Yeah, I think
we're going with a Christian environment. Yeah,
come in. Okay,
we'll take our and these kids will make good leaders and good stock too. Mm-hmm. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Call Love 1-800 Love 191.
So you're pregnant if I do.
Can you get addicted to
aspirin?
That's pretty accurate.
Love Line. Be right back.
Make it straight. You gotta push it. Yeah. Yeah, baby. What's going on? What's up? Much love. How so? I don't like that guy. I don't like the "how so" guy.
Yeah, "how so" is obnoxious.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've been saying that for years.
How so?
I just like throw an elbow in a guy's mouth. So. How so? Pow! Elbow. Nicole?
Yeah.
22?
Yes.
What's... Oh, baby, you were in pain.
What's going on? She lives in Riverside. What do you expect?
Yeah.
Well, I've been having... I mean, it hasn't been going on for that long, but me and my boyfriend, I kind of like having sex, maybe a little bit too much, but he doesn't mind. But lately, like towards the evening, you know, after the movie we watch, we'll have dinner, and, you know, I get in the mood, and then he says, oh, I got to get to bed, I got to get up early.
Mm-hmm. So you want to do it every night?
Not every night. It doesn't have to be like every night. Maybe every other, or maybe every 2 days or something.
And what do you think he wants to do?
Sleep.
No. I mean, what is he good for?
Oh, anything, everything. I mean, he's...
So then what's the problem?
Well, the problem is that lately he hasn't...
Yeah, what would he rather be doing other than every second or third night? What do you think his rhythm would be?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, he doesn't, like once he told me, you know, maybe once a day or once every other day or something.
So he wants to do it more than you do?
No, he, so if that's what he says, he'll he says he wants to do it every day. Or
all right, Nicole. What's
First of all, it has to be a call of the night.
Yeah. Sadly, you're the call of the night. So we're going to give you the Durex party pack. There's sex, and then there's Durex, and then there's whatever you two are trying to do. I didn't know what to call it.
I don't know.
No category. Nothing. No way to define it. Defies nomenclature. Nicole, you're 22, and he's 32. And where's this thing going? How long you two been together?
Probably about a year and maybe a month.
You're living together?
We might as well be. I mean, I drive home to go to sleep, and then I come back.
Right. And where's this thing heading? Do you think it's heading toward the matrimony?
I don't think so. I mean, he doesn't want to get married. He's been married, like, I think once or twice.
I'm going to go ahead and say twice.
Twice.
I'm going to go ahead and say twice.
And I'm going to go ahead and say that Nicole wants to get married. He doesn't.
I'm going
to
go ahead and say that. And you're sort of hanging around and you're apologizing for him. And maybe you got a couple. This is the words of a woman who's packing a couple extra pounds and a little desperate.
No.
What do you got going?
No, I don't know.
How much you weigh?
131.
131,
yeah.
And you're as tall as a shot glass.
No, I'm like 5'3".
Mm. All right, I'm going to make you 5'2 and put you up to 137. Point is what's going on in your life? It doesn't sound like it's going like it could. It just seems like this guy's become your life. And let me tell you the problem that a lot of women get into. The man becomes their life, and the woman is not the man's life.
Right.
And he's out doing whatever he's doing. Sometimes it involves other women. Oftentimes just involves career or guys or money or whatever it is. They're doing their thing, and you're just waiting for this guy to come home and love you and show you attention. And the pressure becomes too great, and he starts to pull back.
Right.
Here's the best way to combat this situation. And look, this guy, we couldn't get it out of her. Seems like he's good for a few times a week, which a year or so into a relationship for a 32-year-old guy is about
normal.
Right.
But he's even pulling away from that.
He's pulling away because Nicole's getting a little needy, and he's saying, I don't want to get married, and she's kind of apologizing. He may have been married once or twice.
Yeah.
I'll just go ahead and twice. Yeah. I love when women pretend like they don't know stuff. Again, if we're talking about World War II trivia, that's a completely different situation. But marriage? Previous marriages of the guys you've been with for over a year and are dying to marry?
Dates and durations.
Believe you me. you would recognize the difference in the two chicks he married's thumbprints if you saw them up on a schematic. Okay?
All right.
Oh, that's Cheryl Ann, that bitch. I'll recognize that print. Leighton Prince. Okay, here's the deal. Nicole, I would say instead of putting the screws to him, you start focusing on your life a little bit.
Take care of yourself.
Getting in shape, working, whatever, career. Feeling good.
And realize this man, if you want to know how his last relationship ended, how your relationship's going to end with him, look at his last relationship.
And let
his
him
track
come
record
to you
is not
a little
good.
Bit.
Yeah.
Instead of yelling at him to come to you.
And you get the Durex pack tonight.
All right. Take a break. Be right back.
Call Love 1-800-LOVE-191.
When you get addicted to aspirin,
that's pretty accurate.
Love Line. Be right back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Eddie Griffin is coming in here tomorrow night from Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo. We will join you then. And until next time, also Rob Schneider, Pennywise, coming in this week. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.